Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are lucky enough to have Ben and Julie, and they are a couple who have an amazing story of their relationship and an amazing path that they went through together to, believe it or not, after 27 years, being more happy, more deeply connected than they've ever been in their life. So stay tuned.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And we are, once again, like, super lucky, excited. We have a couple that we're going to interview again, Ben and Julie. Hello, Ben. Hello, Julie. Hello.
Thank you for being here and for wanting to share your story and in your vulnerability in advance.
Thank you so much for inviting us to share.
Yeah, building such a program.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's always awesome. So Tara and I started off, you know, like 8 years ago, where it was just the two of us doing the relationship renovation model. And we got to know all the couples at that point, you know, because we were working with them. And that was like always like so fun to see people's journey and hear kind of where they started and where they ended up. But now we have, you know, a dozen or so therapists. And once in a while, we're lucky enough where someone who, a couple goes through the program and then tells their therapist that they're willing to come on in. And so today we're going to, you know, interview Ben and Julie and learn a little bit about just their past, how they ended up in coming into a relationship renovation and just what your experience was.
Where do we start?
Well, I mean, I love the, like, where did you meet?
Yeah.
You know, like, how did you guys meet each other? Tell us your story a little.
Well, our son likes to classify us as the 1% of possible couples to make it because we met in high school.
Wow.
And so I was 16 when we met, and you were 17. Shortly after meeting, we were expecting a child.
Within 3 months,
yeah.
Are you guys from Tucson?
We are.
You guys are, okay.
So we went to Tucson High.
So you guys were like literally met at Tucson High? You guys knew each other when you were younger at all?
We were in the same space, but she was a little bit older. Okay. So
yeah, a year older.
So in 3 months... You get pregnant.
Yeah.
At 16?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, first, just tell us, what was that like? Because when you're 16, when you're 15, you think you're something. But now as adults, you know what a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old. I mean, what was that like for you guys just as young people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really interesting time, you know? Like, you try to navigate. We both were interested in keeping the child. And that's something we both felt really strong about. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you've seen the movie Juno,
yes.
That kind of like entailed a little bit of our high school experience. And I mean, Julie was the person actually carrying the child. So we bounced around schools after that to try to finish. You could probably go into detail on that.
Yeah. Yeah. We, in high school, it was, we were actually, I found out I was pregnant, right after prom. Wow. And so it was, and it explained, you know, why I had been feeling the way I had and, you know, and so we ended up going and deciding really quickly that we were definitely all in, and this is the path we wanted to journey together. Both facing many, you know, resistance from family members and, you know, things like that. Yeah. But we decided really quickly, and Ben proposed, and we decided we were going to get married, even without our family's influence in that. I don't think either of our families were wanting us to get married, actually. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, they're right. You're probably like, oh my gosh, you're too young. You guys don't know what you're doing.
Yes. Blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. So what did your parents, I mean, what type of families did you guys come from as far as involvement? And
you want me to go first?
Yeah, you
that
go
was
for
a fast,
it.
That was a fast finger over. I'm the son of a Southern Baptist preacher who's the son of a Southern Baptist preacher.
Wow.
And I currently make the devil's juice as a brewer. So, you know, right then they definitely were expecting us to keep the child because they were, you know, pro-life, where we live in the more pro-choice area of life. Mm-hmm. My mom right away, I felt, was very supportive and offered to help us through this as a transitional period, if we wanted to get an abortion or we wanted to go down a different route as we were so young. Now she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you did in a course. But I was really thankful for that level of support from someone, because that wasn't something that was really offered to us. My grandma, who is a big part of my life, locked herself in her house for a few days and didn't allow anybody else to come in.
Just so shocked by it. Like, yeah. What in the world? Wow.
Yeah. It definitely caught them all off guard.
Yeah.
So the reactions weren't necessarily the like loving, hey, we can get through this, what can we do type of approach. But on the flip side, it's, you know, it's something that I guess none of them ever navigated before either.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all in this for the first time. And
So your parents, super conservative.
Yes. Well, one side, they're no longer married. So one side is very conservative. And then my mom is definitely less on that conservative, more liberal side. But she, I felt like her offer was very genuine and very, I was very thankful for it, just to have that level of support.
A slither of support anyway, like especially at that young age and that big transition. I can imagine how powerful that was.
Yeah.
It gave you like at least a choice.
Sure.
A feeling of somewhat of empowerment.
And I mean, the day of the birth, I mean, she was just in tears and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I offered that and like all this. And I'm like, no, that was the right move.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
how about you? Yeah, how about your parents?
My parents, my mom was actually the one that told me I was pregnant. And she said, you need to go get a test. Wow. And she called me. I was at my friend's house and we were getting ready to actually go to Spring Fling is how it all happened. And she called and she's like, you cannot go to Spring Fling until you take a pregnancy test. She's like, I think you're pregnant. And she said that when I was getting ready for prom, she knew.
Really?
She saw a little bump or something.
She said like my emotions, just everything. Wow. She was just like, I think you're pregnant. And so we went and got a
pregnancy
test.
That is attunement right there.
Right? Oh my goodness. Yeah. She was on that call. She was like, if you go to Spring Fling, you could have a miscarriage if you are pregnant. And if you get on rides and do stuff. And so she encouraged us to go get a pregnancy test. And we did. And I was pregnant.
Wow.
And so she was very supportive, navigated, kind of held that. My father was kind of, you know, they ended up actually separating because of our pregnancy.
Just too much emotionally for them to handle together.
Yeah. And so they separated for a period of time. My dad was, you know, supportive, but not, he kind of blamed my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dynamics of what happened.
It became probably like a power struggle.
Some pre-existing issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys got married when you were like 18?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My father's side of the family would not allow me to get married until I was 18 years old. So I turned 18 June 28th of 1998, and we got married on August 1st of 1998. So,
And at this point, was it a daughter or a son?
Daughter.
A daughter.
Yeah, so she was 9 months when we got married. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
That is so sweet.
So what are those? I mean, I know we could spend a couple hours doing this, but
sure.
like 27 years. I mean, what are those first like 5-10 years of marriage like for you guys? I mean, you, I guess childhood kind of ends at 16, 17, 18 years old for you guys.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we both had this huge realization during our sessions with Leanne.
For sure.
And she covered this like developmental phase that all people go through that are separating from your family and becoming your own individual.
Differentiation.
Yeah. Differentiation. Thank you.
Huge.
And that really didn't happen in our life.
Yeah.
And that was something that she really focused on and we worked through a lot of, and this idea of self-soothing that was also part of our sessions really came into an effect with us, because that's something that we just never had done. We had been reliant on each other from the moment that we left our house, our family home, honestly, we're still relying on each other, so we can't lie about that still today.
Well, but you had to soothe the baby.
Right.
I mean, you had to like switch all of your attention over to a little other human being.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
While your brains are still developing and all of that too.
Yeah.
So you have been together for 27?
Yes.
27 years.
Well, together for 28 years.
Yeah. I guess together for 28 years, married
27. Yeah.
And you've worked with Leanne, who's a therapist at Relationship Innovation. What brought you to couples counseling?
So I feel, even since that very first moment, Ben and I have had a really deep, profound connection. But there's challenges in life.
Yes.
And there's experiences in life, and they build, and wounds, and life happens. And so throughout our time together, you know, we have three children. So we ended up, you know, having more children and navigating home and life. We opened a business together almost 9 years ago, which brought a whole new element into our couple. And it really magnified wounds of the past that we weren't addressing or were trying to navigate. We hadn't really taken time to heal from, you know, there's obviously when we're, like we're saying, we were young.
Yeah.
There was pots of fuel created within those that had just been allowed to, you know, sit without a lot of tending to. Yeah. And so we'd gotten to a place where also, you know, our children, you know, Cass is now 27, our oldest.
Wow.
We have a 22-year-old son, and our youngest is 16. So we're also, which another beautiful, Leanne shared, you know, age and phase, right? And like shared help with different, and as a woman that's getting older, and as our children are getting older and starting to empty nest in a way, we still have Athena at home with us, but it was starting to really highlight.
Yeah.
Where we were just, you know, kind of, it was
disconnected.
Disconnected.
What did it look like for you guys? Like, what did that disconnection look like?
It was, so the business drew a lot on us, whether it was like patrons, employees, stresses of paying bills, of like trying to, we went through partnerships that were rough. We went through COVID that was rough. We went through some employee drama that was rough. And we've learned a lot of lessons, but that stuff weighed a lot. So during the period of this, it was like we were talking, any type of argument was leading to divorce. Mm-hmm. And when we called, we were really in like a moment of just seeing red.
Yep.
And it was like, you just end that and you can't,
yeah,
you can't pull yourself out of it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, we cannot do this together. We got to get some help.
Yeah.
And if we don't, it's probably terminal.
Yeah. And we decided, I think at that moment, we're like, okay, we're going to do this. And if this doesn't work, then this is over. Like, we have to.
This is 80% of the couples that come in.
Sure.
They wait until seeing red crisis. And it is. It's like, which, just one thing to say, because couples will come in and there's so much hopelessness and so much powerlessness. Mm-hmm. And I always say this, because they're like, how will we know this will work? And I'm like, listen, I have no crystal ball. Like, I can't say that you guys are going to have this, like, amazing connected relationship. But right now, I know that both of you are suffering and you're not in a place where you have clarity.
Yep.
So let's move you through a place so that you can have clarity to make a decision and let your kids see that, right?
Yeah.
So many people, like, it gets bad and then it's done and there's this unhealthy cutoff and then your kids just, you're modeling that. And so when I say that to couples, it's like, yeah, clarity sounds really good because both people are just in such a place of suffering that they can't see past their own eyeballs.
That was exactly it. We were both, it felt so trapped. And our main concern was that it was literally just spilling onto our kids, and especially our youngest at home. And that was not, that was the line. Yeah. That was like, this is, and, you know, we, Ben's parents are divorced, and my parents had journeyed through all different stages, and none of them seeking help in any capacity. And that was one thing. It was like, this is really affecting our kids. And if this is it, at least we would have maybe a way to move forward together that would be healthier for the children. Because that was...
Even if we had separated or divorced, we would have like the tools to be a better...
Better co-parents.
Co-parents. Yeah. And just like, I mean, we would be coexisting forever because we have these relationships of our children and our work. Like,
yeah, they're not going away. They're tying us together no matter what. Yeah. So we might as well try to figure out how to do this.
So you take this brave step.
Yeah. So, I mean, couples have a million different stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one really common thing is what you said is like, we had all this stuff built up, right? And really what you're talking there about is we have unresolved conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, we have unresolved conflict after unresolved conflict.
Yeah, past resentments.
Until like now anything we talk about basically brings all of the pressure of what hasn't been resolved. So what did you begin to learn about, like, what is the way in which we communicate that is not allowing us to resolve any? Like, what did you learn about your patterns that made it nearly impossible to resolve a conflict?
Yeah. How long we wait. I think there's patterns of just, I don't know.
I think like the ladder, we talked about the ladder. With Leanne.
Mm. Polybagel ladder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And just getting into the state and not being able to get out of that state to continually try to like navigate where our feelings are and not even being able to like breathe enough to realize that we're just in this state nonstop. At the
high levels of stress.
Fight, freeze, always.
Yes. Nonstop, and
always out of your window of tolerance.
Always,
yeah. And then you react to each other in that way because your nervous systems mirror each other. So that's where you guys are at, a constant state of stress.
Yes.
Yeah, and I feel like our inability to self-soothe.
Yeah.
And some of those tools that we weren't like aware of or utilizing kept us constantly in this state. So it would just carry on. We might come to an end of that moment, but then we wake up and we try to navigate that day and it just slide right back in because it just, this continual pull down.
What was like, what was an initial tool or an initial set awareness that in the first phase of the model where you were like, oh, okay, that's helping things.
Cause we get to know you guys at like from a little baby up until when you guys met, which were still little babies, but in their teen years.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's kind of crazy, but just that emotional check-in every day.
Yep.
That basic, just like, where are you today? How are you? You know, and also being given the, almost like the permission to like, it's okay, you know, the three words. And you know, if one's frustrated, it's also that empowering. Like, it's not necessarily either one of our roles to fix that.
Yeah.
Right. Just to honor that. Honor that where one of us are in that moment and to check in, which is helps navigate the entirety of the day. It helps, you know, kind of just, it was, I think that was our very first, we had never had that communication before. Yeah. We never even, like, honored that space and allowed it to just be.
Uh-huh.
That like you can check in and you can be something really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
And I don't got to do anything about it. Like, but at least I know what the hell's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
And if I don't know now, well, we recently just started putting all the feelings wheels, like even in the incoming bags that couples get when they start the process. Yeah. We have the feelings pillows, the feelings wheels on the table. Ugh. Because I think so many people like don't understand like the feelings from the thoughts. And when we get lost in the thoughts, we are totally dismissive of our own feelings. So the emotional check-ins, like I can't tell you how often I'll sit with like, well, that's a thought, but let's pick up that wheel. And our kids love it too, right? We get to help them too with our feelings check-ins. But so you guys first started with the emotional check-ins. You had never had that space before. It sounds like you were both respectful and non-judgmental of whatever those feelings were.
Most days.
So that starts the process of, well, and then take me, because you were saying, Ben, like that idea of differentiation, like the things that we never got to learn because we just went right into life when our brains were still developing too and our families kind of were all over the place navigating this transition for us. Like what, going through, you know, your timeline, your genogram, the ideas of developmental stages, like what did you learn?
I learned that I carry a lot of things that aren't really mine to carry.
Yes.
And that was really a huge concept, especially as we went through both of our, and just hearing each other's kind of, okay, this is why Ben lives in this frustrated state.
Yes. It's not just me that I create that.
Yes.
He's been like that even before we met.
Yes.
Compassion.
And so like understanding that, that was huge. That was probably the biggest step that we did. Yeah.
And what did you do with that? Like, what do you do with like, you know, there's aspects of me that I'm just carrying with me.
That is something that I've really been focusing on in this thing and just allowing myself to, you know, like I see something on the side of the road. I'm often a person that fixes it, or I'm often a person that like, hey, this isn't working right. This could flow better if they did it this way. And my mind constantly goes into this, and it's not always my obligation to help. Yeah. And so allowing that just to like sit and be like, no, it's not your responsibility to take this on. It's not your responsibility to, you know, fix whatever Julie's going through, which is also a tough mindset for me. So going back and kind of looking at that self-soothing, and we both have been kind of navigating because it is really hard. We do rely on each other immensely to soothe the other person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was really hard in our relationship over time. Mm-hmm. And still is a challenge. It's not like it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
But like having this like, okay, I'm upset. I need to figure out myself and not project this.
Yeah.
And not, you know, like try to breathe through it, try to walk through it, do the things that I know are going to help me, you know, go sit outside by myself for a minute and just let me breathe and like calm down and reset. I think even like Leanne went over like this, like 15 to 20 minute period where your mind is like in the red and your mind can't reset that in, you know, 5 minutes or 2 minutes. Like it actually has to be a 15 minute, let everything in the nervous system calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think we've been doing that and we've been talking about the self-soothing.
I mean, it sounds like what I'm hearing is like, there was a process of regaining or maybe establishing emotional autonomy, that it was like very enmeshed and you guys just didn't even know better because you're just, I mean, I can just imagine like two young people just navigating life and having to lean in on each other like completely. And that's the thing about a lot of the dysfunction within all of our relationships is it starts off functional, but when we don't readjust, when we don't recalibrate, at a certain point, it becomes like a bad system for us.
So I heard that you are, because I relate to this, because I'm an overfunctioner. I call it overfunction. I overfunction for people everywhere all the time, with my kids, with EJ. And I remember when I was going to therapy and my therapist was like, God, you do a lot and that's not really your responsibility. And I was like, what? And so I realized like this idea, the feeling of overfunctioning, A, it's not helpful for me, but then I'm trusting other people that they can't do it the way I would do it.
Right.
And so now I'm not giving them the ability to like mess it up themselves or trusting them. And so I also love that you're recognizing what is yours and what feels helpful and what you don't have to take on. That's like, to me, that's freedom. When I still want to overfunction, but I'm like, gosh, that's a disservice to my partner or my children.
Right.
Like, you go have it mess up on your math test. You don't have to get it perfect, right? But yeah, I learned that very early on for me in my childhood that I had to overfunction in order to like be safe. But I didn't even know it. I just thought that that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I just love that you're having the experience of like, do I need to help that person on the side of the road? I don't need to. But
And it's also like a feeling of self-worth and a feeling of like,
this is what I
being needed and like doing these things that maybe aren't your responsibility. Not only are you taking from someone else's ability, especially also as like employers, you know, and I used to refer to myself as a no-helpian. And I just wanted to do the thing and just like, if I could just do it and everybody leave me alone, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I heard a great thing somebody said, like, for people like yourself, you guys, is like every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else, you know, and that's
it. Yeah.
You know? And how so I guess well, I'm, yeah, how I'm wondering, that impacted like, for Julia?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's been a huge shift and it's been really calming to the nervous system to also like just witness this honoring that Ben's honoring himself and honoring, you know, for me, the way that like witnessing him allow and let go and allow others and feel this sense of self-worth and boundaries around that.
Boundaries.
It's really been beautiful to witness the ease in his mind, the softness, like the much softer being. And so I'm truly grateful and I honor that work and the playfulness, the lightness that comes from that.
What are you feeling as you talk about this?
Yeah, I'm so humbly grateful and a little emotional that it's one of the biggest gifts is to have this, like, the space to see him, like, light and happy and playful is beautiful. Like, to see that interaction and exchange with the world around him and around us and our kids and our business, our community, but just the lightness, the walking lighter, the softer.
What space does it create for you?
It's just, it's safe.
Yeah.
There's a safer sensation. It feels like a safety of being of vulnerability, tenderness.
Like you can approach him.
I can approach him. Yeah. And that's been a huge, you know, being able to approach knowing, like, and also his presence, the presence of being is just, it's allowed I feel like there was a period of time I had such a wall up.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, yep, okay. And just where now I'm like, that wall feels like it's actually for the first time in our lives, I can, you know, step over it.
Tell us mm-hmm. about that. Like, because his wall has gone down, but you still have to step over it, right? Like, what has been your work to take that step of I'm going to move towards him again. He's safe. He's doing the things maybe I've asked or wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, what has it taken for you?
Yeah. Also showing up, staying committed, staying dedicated, you know, the coming in and also experiencing the lenses and the wounds. And we did that ceremony.
The burning ceremony.
The burning ceremony. Oh my gosh. That was probably one of the most special experiences of my life.
Same.
It truly was, I think, in those moments, bringing all, we've built like a, you know, we have our items that we used and we're, you know, our little healing bundle there. And those moments of vulnerability and those moments of actually being held and heard and, you know, just being witnessed and being allowed to feel like there was a true intention of wanting healing and love and that it was safe to express our individualized experiences in those wounds. And then also that transformation and coming now into the present, that was huge. It really, really helped all those, you know, unresolved wounds.
Yeah. They got to move now.
They got to move.
And be differently. Because it's like, I mean, you can see couples come in and they are like literally stuck and rigid in their body. And then you see them like near the end, right? Old story, new story.
Yes.
Like there's just the shift.
Yeah.
All of it. Of it. It's just so beautiful to see for couples. And I'm so like grateful that you guys had the courage to go through that. Because a lot of couples think there's no way this could ever get better. But no, we just didn't know. Like, we don't have this understanding. There's certain skills, like emotion regulation and calling a code word if it gets if it gets too much. And I guess what I'm hearing is, whether it's ourselves, you guys, or other couples, like, they come in and people are frustrated and they want things to be different. And we talk about this idea of secure attachment. Like, that's my heart only wants all of us to have secure attachment, which means I can be me, all of my imperfections and everything, and I am still loved. And there's no threat at all. Like, we can have fights, but I know we'll be okay.
Yes.
And that most people coming in don't realize they've never had a secure attachment ever. So it's a totally different feeling. And when couples can create it together for the first time, tell me more about that.
Yeah, that has been huge. Yeah. Like, I think that was, like, Ben had mentioned that before we came in, every conflict, every conversation was just like divorce.
Yep.
Like, this is it. And so there was no safety.
Yep.
It just felt like you couldn't have any conversation. And so, of course, we weren't showing up in wholeness or fullness. We weren't, you know, it felt like, and I remember, like, as you were saying, I remember our first time sitting on that sofa in that room, I was very rigid on the opposite side and just like, okay, I'm here. And but it was almost like, it was different. We were at a different point. I felt like I was the one that was checked out this time.
Yeah.
I was the one that was like, okay, well, I'm here. You know.
See where this could go.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And, you know, I was the rigid one on the side and really cut off and just like really done. Just like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really common place too, right? Where we're actually even coming in, even though you know, like, okay, there's a chance this might help, but it's a risk because it's like even if it's a little bit, I'm opening my heart back up to get hurt again. Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you.
Yes.
I mean, so what advice do you give a couple, you know, who's in that place? Because right, there's tens of thousands of couples out there who are at a place where they're feeling hopeless. They feel like it's not even worth it. Yeah. I'd be happier. What do you tell that couple?
You know, I can empathize. Like, my biggest fear was opening my heart again. And I didn't realize that was my biggest fear, right? But on the other side of fear is the most profound transformation I've ever experienced. This love that I have for Ben, this love and worthiness that I've witnessed grow, not only as a couple, but as individuals. Mm-hmm. And this feeling that I feel every day and every moment now is worth that, is worth like stepping beyond fear. You know, it kind of, I want to say, like, if we're in that space, I was in that space, I'd been hurt, I could do it again, right? You know, you can, it's okay. Yeah. It's scary. But if you get past that, if you can do the, like, heal and come back together, reconnect, refind, you know, really heal what has been, you know, separating us and reconnect, the depth of connection is so profound. And the lightness, the happiness, the, like I was saying, or like, this is the feeling. We've never been here. 28 years, I've never felt this. I mean, I've loved Ben eternally, but I've never felt this much compassion, grace, love, like playfulness, lightness.
Yeah.
I mean, it really feels like we're living in a different portal of time.
That's amazing. What's that like to hear, Ben?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, well, it's very heartwarming to hear. And it's just, you know, it's something that we've struggled through our relationship. And here we're at this point of just like, just absolutely enjoying each other. And we came with this, we're just going to flow with trust and ease. And I forget the last word.
And everything else.
That was it. And that was kind of our motto moving out of therapy, you know? And it was like, it was so nice. And I would just say to people, like Julie covered it so well, but get past that level of uncomfortability.
Yeah.
Get past that level of vulnerability and really put in the work, do the exercises, do the things. And every relationship, I feel like, could go through something like this.
Yeah.
You could be in a healthy relationship and you could go through a therapy program. And I know that, you know, depending on the generation you come from, therapy comes with this stigma.
Yeah.
You know, especially the older crowd and the younger you get, our kids, our daughter loves it. Like she wants to be in therapy every week. She, you know, getting a minor in psychology, like she has all these plans. She takes it as an elective at her high school. So like,
she could come intern with us one day.
Yeah, she would love that. And she just, the idea of opening up and realizing what your emotions are, realizing where you are in life, realizing those pots of fuel, your triggers, what it is that pushes you over these edges and why you have these, and look into yourself and see what those things are and know that these are your things that maybe you don't even have to carry anymore.
Yeah.
And they're things that your partner definitely isn't, it's not their fault that that's there.
Yeah.
So like really just growing in that relationship and being vulnerable and doing the exercises. And I think if you're thinking that therapy is not for you, that's not something you should be thinking, because it is something for you. It's something for everyone and something just to continue.
Why do humans have to wait until it gets so? Do you want to know the book we're writing? We've been writing it for 3 years.
Yes.
You had me at goodbye.
Oh.
Because it's true. It's like, it's either couples counseling or we're done. I'm like, we're going to write a book and we're going to call it You Had Me at Goodbye.
I love that.
But the power of, I mean, this is like my next shift. I want to like build those skills before you get there.
Yeah.
Build that security before you get there, because life is full of transitions. But here's the one thing, like, because, right, it's not like it goes away. You guys aren't like right on a white horse with like,
right. Yep.
But there's no threat. Like, I know EJ and I will be able to get through whatever it is.
Yes.
And that we're still going to have our fights.
Yes.
We'll still repair, but we repair more quickly.
Yeah.
Yes.
We still have our power struggles.
Mm-hmm. I'll still act like an asshole once in a while.
You sure do. And I'll still will too, but less often.
Yeah, hopefully.
But that there's that security now.
There is.
And that's where we can, where the freedom is to just be who we need to be, and we can still make mistakes and it's okay.
Yeah. It's been huge. You know, we joked. And so last Monday, we graduated.
Right?
Oh, yes. It was so sweet. And then Tuesday came around and it was like, and I think we were saying like we had a difficult week. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, and he was like, oh, and it was actually like a conversation, like the repair comes so much quicker.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's also like all these, it was a moment where we're like, oh yeah. And that second part of the mantra we made with Leanne, and everything else. Flow in ease, lightness and ease. We trust in lightness and ease and everything else. And it was almost like, we needed to test the boundaries. Or did we really graduate? Yeah. Or, you know, like, are we ready to go to once a month? You know?
That happens.
Right?
It's because it's scary. Like, what if we can't maintain this?
Yes.
But then it's like, I mean, you know, we've had couples on that we saw 6 years ago, eight years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like that, it wasn't a Band-Aid. Like when we created the whole model itself, we just didn't want it to be a Band-Aid to be like, oh, here's how you communicate better. It was like a whole shift of like seeing your other person as a suffering, compassionate human, that they're not doing it because they hate you or you're a bad person. They're just struggling, and we just forget that.
Struggling, stuck.
And I mean, we ran across a lot of that with going through our history, because, you know, being together at 16 and 17 and getting married at 18 and 19, you know, you go through a lot of those transitional periods, especially as dumb boy. You know, like you're full of what I always say is piss, shit, and testosterone. And it's just this driving force in you. And so, like, you know, we had to go through being young parents, me going to get diapers and disappearing for 3 hours because I picked up a friend and we went four-wheel driving, or we went and played basketball, or we did something that we obviously shouldn't have been doing and then forgot the diapers. Yeah. And so then we'd have to go home and go back and get diapers. And, you know, then there was like the turning 21 and going out and like wanting to be that 21-year-old.
Yeah.
And Julie was actually pregnant at the time. And so just like going back and just seeing like, wow, there was a lot of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just feeling reassured that there's not going to be abandonment in our future and where we are now. And like,
when we don't intentionally stick our finger in our partner's deepest wounds, but we do.
It's like,
it's like the weirdest thing, you know. It's like you weren't like, oh, I'm going to go out and play basketball just to make her feel abandoned.
Right.
But it certainly did it. And then, but that's the beauty of first the personal timeline and then the relationship timeline is then you have like a construct because then you like, you're like, oh, well, that was part of her past that pre-existed. That wound existed before I entered her life. But then like, oh, 5 years later, I was poking it, you know, and that's where we're getting better at, like when she has those moments where I do something and I don't realize like why it's creating this big emotional response. I'm like, oh, it's because I'm touching that, like I'm touching that thing. And it makes it a lot easier for me not to get reactive and defensive because I actually realize what the heck is going on. And but I still do it. I did it last night. You know, it's like, it's still going on, but hopefully, you know, we get better at understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
It's tough though. It's still work, right?
But, that thing we have in our lobby, our partner is our greatest teacher. Be patient for the lessons.
Yes.
So true, right?
It is so true.
It is, yeah. And like, as you were just mentioning, I would love to share is that one of the most also profound moments, especially during our time here, was working with the timeline.
Yeah.
And getting to also share and be held, but also witness Ben. I remember after his session of, you know, working with a part of him, an exiled part that had been, you know, his. And, you know, he had, with our feeling check-in every day, you know, it was one of the three words was always frustrated.
Yeah.
And I remember one day Leon was like, oh, we'll work with that soon. And then we went on to, and then the day that like, it was like, okay, we're going to touch on this frustrated part. And witnessing Ben in that process and him going inside and connecting with that part and hearing his story.
Yeah.
Right? Like, of course, I've heard it over, like, you know, from family and his, but witnessing this wound within him that has really, you know, came up really big and bold in a lot of our times in confrontation, but and then be able to hold it and witness it from like, I was tearing up just watching, you know, holding him and having that shift in like you're saying, like that awareness and then also compassion and empathy and grace for that part of him that has, you know, the cycle of like this comes up and then it creates this and then we're, but all that it comes
I know. And like, couples will get, they'll be like, we know everything about each other. Do we really have to spend like three sessions on our timeline? I'm like, yes. Because just wait. Because you think you do, but it's not the things that we're deeper you go.
You contextualize it differently. Yes. And then it's like, it's almost like, I don't know, like you have a roadmap or you have something to pull out in those moments where like you could go to your activated self and just start dropping your own shit on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have like this map to like somehow root you and like, okay, I know what's going on here. I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
How do I like it? How do I just get a little bit better at interacting with my partner in this moment? And it's that whole thing that we have a guy that we're just students of, Dr. Stan Tak, and he's like, we need to become experts in our partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we don't mess up, but at least we understand kind of what's going on in those moments.
And I like the, like, how does this make you feel?
Yeah.
So like, that's the part that you don't really get from your partner if you don't go in an in-depth conversation about it. Like, I know you suffered this as a child.
Yeah.
But my interpretation of how that makes you feel versus your interpretation of how that made you feel, which is obviously the truth because you're the one with the feelings.
Exactly.
I'm just the one with the perception of how you should feel.
Yeah.
And so I think that really understanding their feelings and those moments of like, you know, young age abandonment or young age, like things that, you know,
Well, and know what you said, I know how you should feel,
yeah,
is all based upon my own adaptive way, because this, because what would make it more comfortable for me would be if you would react in this way. And yeah, when you react in the way, mm-hmm, you do, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You need to stop.
I know doing you that. Still think that about me.
You need to stop doing that. Yeah.
And well, probably same, because yeah, definitely, you know, we react different. We are different beings.
Yeah, and even just like simple things, like, so we got into a little thing last night, right? And when we get into those moments, like, there's this part of me that like is like a caged animal and I want to escape. And I just, my eyes move. And whenever I did it last night, Tara was like, why are you doing that thing? Why are you looking over there and then looking over here? And I'm like, because it's like this part of me that's just like, I'm looking for an escape route. I'm like, mm-hmm, trying to figure out a way to get away. But, mm-hmm, you know, I don't leave, my eyes just dart. And it's just like, we got to understand those things about each other.
Yeah.
You know, because they're happening at the same time that she's activated about, yeah, something, mm-hmm, I'm activated. And that's when before it would become a total shit show.
Yep.
And now it's less of a shit show.
You know? Yes. It's, yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
Us, well, you done. Guys. We're, yeah, so proud. Yeah. Well, we always like to end with, well, first of all, thank you for trusting.
Thank you guys. It's so great.
Thank you.
For trusting, yeah, the process of relationship innovation, but Leanne is freaking amazing. We actually did
a rock star
podcast with her on differentiation.
Oh, cool.
And another podcast with her and her husband, Aaron.
Oh.
Yeah. So thank you for trusting that. But just, you know, we always end kind of like we end all of our couple sessions, like looking at each other and just sharing what you appreciate about each other, the process, whatever it is that feels good for you guys.
Yeah. Oh. This is really sweet because it actually feels like part of the wholeness. So I acknowledge you for your dedication, your willingness to navigate the shit shows, and to also to show up and be continue to be just this being that we grow and stay connected and willing to dive deep and willing to, yeah, stay committed. And it's been a true privilege and honor to witness this evolved connection that we've have. And I'm truly grateful for you taking the time and the patience and growing and evolving and trusting. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would like to acknowledge you for your work that you've put into this. It's not easy and it creates a level of vulnerability. So I appreciate that. The lowering of your wall and allowing our relationship to grow and building on what we've talked about, grace, and building on our coupleship, and just being a magnificent person that shows up and gives love and shares feelings and is willing to take moments to work through things and to talk them out and figure out ways of being better. So I appreciate and love you. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I'd like to acknowledge you both for creating this and cultivating and tending to this and sharing and creating a space where it's truly making the world. I mean, it made our world better, but truly making the world a better place for us to live and experience our time we have together. And
thank you.
It's truly profound. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. We're just so grateful that you trusted, you know, our center, and that you came here. And it really is at the heart of like why we decided to do this, is that we know, like, if we can help change a couple, like your kids, your work, it's a crazy thing, but the power of like two people who really love one another, and it amplifies so much. And so it's just awesome to hear that we're not crazy. And it's
I'll just never forget, Julie, Ben, like, I was out at Reed Park running. The twins were like 6 months old, 9 months old. I'm crying. I haven't slept. I'm wanting to divorce EJ, drive the minivan we had to buy, right, to Kentucky, because I have a twin sister that I'm like, I'm leaving.
Yes.
And I was like, if two therapists, been a marriage therapist for 20 years at that point, are having this hard of a time, I said, we have to help our community. And we had to figure it out for ourselves. But right, like there was a lot of people that don't have the knowledge that we had even coming into this. We had no idea how difficult it was. We thought we were just like going to have these twins and go into a blended family and it's going to be all good. Love is love.
Yes.
We love love. Right. Yeah, no.
Yes.
So I'm grateful that like we had to go through what we did. And then I just called EJ and I said, we're going to help other couples. And he was like, I don't like working with couples here. And I was like, wait, just wait.
Yeah.
And like, what, 2 years later? 2 years later, we opened our doors. So, yeah.
That is beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you for that acknowledgement. Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
And cultivating a space that brings people and like Leanne. I mean, you know, it's a lot of work to find the people that do good work and creating a space that, you know, people like that want to be.
Yeah.
And it's
we're super picky.
Yeah. As business owners, I mean, creating a space and finding the right people to cultivate and build the space and be part of. I mean, honestly, they're more the face of it than you are as the business owner sometimes. So, like,
absolutely.
Finding the right people is really important. And you guys have done a great job at that. So.
Thank you. Our whole goal is to create an emotionally safe workspace.
Yeah.
Because we're doing that work to do emotional safety within coupleships. And because we couldn't do this work without having the workspace that feels emotionally safe and vulnerable. And
yeah, well, it's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very, and like you had mentioned, like, I truly feel like you all have been headlights, right? And like headlights because we don't have the tool, like the tools, like, and then honoring your gifts to share with the world. That's huge. Like that's the beauty of it. So thank you.
And if anyone wants to reach out, like just send us an email, or if this story really resonates with you, we just love hearing from listeners. Our goal is to have more couples on to share their stories, to really bring hope and empowerment. Like things can be different.
Yes.
If you're willing to put in the work, and it's scary, but look, like you said, the other side of it is like amazing.
It truly is.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. And as always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same.